Part 3 of Rat's Reputation, right here on KUCI. I'll just remind you once again, you're listening to KUCI and hit a little theme music. Darkling Eclectica presents a collection of broadcast fiction brought to you by the Darkling Eclectica. Rat's Reputation by Michael H. Payne. Part 3. Down the front path, Rat ran, the scents from Aunt Tyra's garden splashing over his whiskers. He vaulted the gate, looked both ways, and sprinted across the cobblestones to the other side of the street, the hedges around Aunt Asta's yard, a bright new green, tiny yellow and red flowers peeking out. He glanced back, but Kylie wasn't pushing open the gate and chasing him, which either meant she really was mad, or... A clearing of throat from Aunt Asta's hedge, Rat snapped his head over to see Kylie step from the leaves, one of her claws tapping his shoulder. "Who's it?" she asked.
Where did you..."
He looked across the street, then back at her.
"I didn't even hear the gate open."
"What makes you think I used the gate?"
She did a quick pirouette away from him.
"And my question stands, Ratayo."
She fluttered her eyelashes.
"Who's it now?"
He jumped for her, but she had already skittered down the sidewalk.
"Kylie! That's not fair!"
She stopped and turned, slid out of the way of his claw.
"It's my fault you're so slow?"
He lunged again. She slipped away, and then they were at the corner, Han Court emptying onto Chestnut Lane, all the Nibbler clan cottages that Rat could see from his room lining the street. Not much traffic, most folks at work or school. School. Whether he got adopted or not, he'd have to start school with Kylie and Paul and Corin and the others the day after the banquet. If he stayed here, if the mice let him stay, if he wanted to stay, if...
"Ratayo?"
Kylie blinked at him from the sidewalk ahead.
"I can smell you're worried. What's wrong?"
All he could think of was kreshenik, a shurid word for the stomach when it tightened. So he just shrugged. She folded her arms.
"Is it about the adoption?"
"No, it's..."
He sighed, then jumped, poked his claw out, just missed her. She laughed and skipped further down Chestnut Lane toward Aunt Milene's grocery store, Rat almost tripping over his paws. She took the corner onto Legion Street, and he heard her call out,
"Good afternoon, Miss Hambaka,"
as he came careening around and slammed into a big furry wall, something small but dense hitting him in the side of the head. It knocked him over onto the sidewalk, shrieks bursting out around him, one louder than the rest.
"Help! He's after my children by the 12! Somebody stop him!"
Whatever had hit him had squirmed onto his chest, but Rat couldn't get his eyes to focus. More shouts, Kylie, Aunt Milene, folks he didn't recognize. Then a blast of cold air smashed over him, a voice booming,
"What's all this, then?"
The wind cleared his eyes, and Rat saw that he was sprawled in front of Aunt Malene's store, an opossum kit sitting and blinking on his chest. An opossum lady stood at the corner screaming,
"My baby! My baby!"
over and over, all the other little opossums clinging to her, screaming along. Aunt Malene and most of her customers had come out of the store, and Kylie was tugging on Aunt Malene's arm, her mouth moving, but Rat couldn't hear what she was saying over the shouts. Then a shadow fell across him, a huge brown and gray hawk, sunlight glinting off the badge on his blue vest.
"Release that child!"
the bird yelled, leveling a wing at him. Rat looked at the hawk, at the little opossum, then back at the hawk.
I'm not actually holding him, sir.
The hawk's eyes narrowed, the opossum lady shouting,
Officer Hawk! That rat's devouring my precious Eustace!
The little opossum's ears jerked at the name. He turned, scampered off Rat's chest, and waddled across the sidewalk to his mother.
Eustace!
She screamed, even louder somehow. She scooped the kit into her front paws and covered him with kisses.
You're alive! You're alive!
With the weight of the kit gone, Rat took a few breaths, tried to gather himself together and stand, but the police hawk hopped forward, pinned him down with one clawed foot.
Half a minute. What's the likes of you doing in this town?
Holding perfectly still, Rat squeaked,
I live here.
A hard smile curled the officer's beak.
You'd have me believe we're letting degenerates shack up in Ottersgate now?
Then Aunt Milene's voice,
Actually, Officer Hawk.
The crowd shifted, Kylie pulling the older mouse forward, her off-white apron nearly the same color as her fur.
That's the rat my Uncle Raymond's trying to adopt. He's been living at the Nibbler Clan house since last fall.
Officer Hawk's sharp eyes made Rat look away. He heard the hawk huff out a breath.
I haven't seen anything at HQ about rats moving into town. Highly irregular, I say.
Excuse me, officer?
Kylie stepped around Aunt Milene, her voice steadier than Rat knew he could have managed.
The Ottersgate town charter is pretty clear about what sorts of Mouse Clan business fall under Air Force jurisdiction, and, well, adoption isn't one of them, sir.
The hawk glared at Kylie, but she just looked back. After a moment, he huffed again and fluffed up his chest feathers.
Thank you, young miss, for the civics lesson.
His claw unclamped from around Rat.
Possible threats to public safety, however, definitely fall within our purview.
Rat swallowed, climbed to his paws. Should he run, or...
Officer!
The big opossum yelled, Eustace and her other kits wrestling around in her fur.
Surely you can't mean you're letting this...
Her black eyes flashed, her lips pulling back so all her pointy teeth showed.
This creature loose?
Officer Hawk gave her a tight bow.
Oh, rest assured, Ms. Humbucker. This incident will be duly reported to my superiors.
He looked over his shoulder at Rat.
We'll be keeping an eye on this one. Now that we know he's here, that is.
Another bow, and he leaped up, his wings unfolding, pumping him into the sky, dust blowing into Rat's face. He clenched his eyes. It was happening again. He wasn't doing anything, and everyone was hating him.
Ratayo?
Kylie's voice. Peering through his eyelashes, he saw the crowd already dispersing, Ms. Hambaka turning away with a loud,
What is this town coming to? Vagrants attacking our children in broad daylight, and the police doing nothing?
Rat had to swallow before he could get out.
Could we maybe just... go home and play in the yard. I don't feel like... No!
Kylie's ears folded a bit, and she crossed her arms.
If you go and hide, they can say anything they want. You've got to be there to tell them they're being poopy.
He blinked and saw past Kylie to Aunt Milene, her arms folded too, the very same frown on her face that he'd seen so many times back in the gypsy caravan. He dropped his eyes. His throat got all tight.
I just don't want to be it anymore.
He became very aware of the sounds around him. Mice padding along the sidewalk. A group of sparrows chattering past. A big otter rattling by with a cart. Then fur was wrapping his claws, Kylie taking his paw in hers.
There,
she said.
I'm it now, okay?
Meeting her eyes, his ears got warm.
Okay,
was all he could say.
Good.
She squeezed his paw, then turned, almost dragging him off his feet.
Now come on! We've still got to get some mud balls and find Paul and Corin!
But whatever horrendous accident of fate it was that threw that rat kit into Raymond Nibbler's path, one thing is more than certain. The old mouse's insane desire to maintain his grip on the Nibbler clan by subverting the electoral processes enshrined in our town charter, conceived that unhappy day in the Gypsy Squirrel's camp, was born to squalling, squatted life in the spring equinox of 1717, when Raymond set his rat before the clan for adoption.
From vermin, power, greed, and death in the Nibbler Clan elections of 1727 by Malthus Spinner, Spinner Clan Publishing, 1728.
Will Corin be there?
Rat poked a claw at his bow tie.
If she wants to get recognized as a spinner.
Aunt Tyra didn't look away from the curlers she was taking out of Kylie's fur, but she still managed to slap Rat's paw hard enough to sting.
And don't muss your tie.
Rat rubbed his paw and squinted at the mirror, at the stiff white cloth clamped around the dark brown of his neck.
You suppose she's gotten the mud off her whiskers yet?
Kylie giggled. He glanced over to see Aunt Tyra untying the last rag, and the sudden curls around Kylie's ears made her look so soft, so different. Rat had to stare. Aunt Tyra smiled.
Ah, you've your mother's fur, Kylie, perfect as thistledown.
She brushed her own arm, fur gray and thick as Grandpa's.
Try to make a Nibbler coat behave. Well, you might as well be talking to our young retire.
Kylie's eyes moved to his, and Rat snapped his gaze away, his ears blushing, Aunt Tyra moving to stand in front of him.
Speaking of whom?
She took a box from under the dresser. Rat groaned.
Aunt Tyra!
Not another word!
Opening the box, she pulled out a white bowler hat.
You'll be suited up all proper and gentle, my lad, for the first time in your young life, if I'm not mistaken.
And she settled the hat between his ears.
Poshnik rare toktek,
Rat muttered, something Nona had always said when she was mad. It meant, may the high ones protect you from gum disease. He'd never been sure why Nona said it, but it was good for making Aunt Tyra's ears fold down.
And none of that gutter talk, living with gypsy squirrels all those years, makes my whiskers jitter to think of it.
In the mirror, the hat looked too small, his head not shaped quite right, but it actually felt like it fit. He blinked at himself, and Kylie's image moved in beside his, her white scarf knotted perfectly and draped over one shoulder.
You almost look like a mouse in that,
she said. Reaching up to adjust his hat, he made sure his elbow jabbed her.
Is that supposed to be a compliment?
She fluffed her curls, her arm whacking him in the ribs with each fluff.
A truly gentle soul wouldn't need to ask. Gentle, huh?
He tried to jab her again, but her elbow intercepted his, turned it aside, and...
That's enough!
Aunt Tyra stepped between them.
I'll not have my hard work ruined by you two bruising each other silly.
She took Rat's shoulders and steered him toward the door.
Now, to find your good-for-nothing father, Kylie, and...
The door pulled open, Kylie's father grinning, his bowler hat and bow tie, the traditional dark yellow of the Nibbler clan.
My ears are burning, sis, he said.
Is that big boars? It'd be a shame if they didn't.
Aunt Tyra's grip loosened, and Rat slipped away from her. Kylie's father rolled his eyes, then he waved a paw at Kylie.
And who are you? What have you done with my daughter?
Daddy.
Kylie rolled her eyes, too, and Rat swallowed. None of the mice talked about it, but from scattered comments, he'd pieced together how Kylie's mother had gotten real sick when she'd had her first babies, how Kylie was the only one born alive, how her mother had died right after. Looking at Kylie and her father, it always made Rat think about his real parents, the ones he could only remember the smell of, whether they were dead or just...
So, Tayo!
Kylie's father had turned his smile toward him.
Those white bow ties are pretty awful, aren't they?
Rat let his morbid thoughts go, started to reach for his neck, stopped when Aunt Tyra cleared her throat and scratched his stomach instead.
Yes, sir,
he muttered.
Well, these mustard ones are worse.
He tapped Rat's hat.
Something to look forward to after you get adopted.
Unless they kicked him out of town the way Corin kept saying they would. That was another thing the Nibblers never talked about. Even Grandpa would only tell him not to worry, to just go in and be himself and everything would be fine. But, well, he'd been himself in the gypsy caravan too, hadn't he? Kylie's father was still smiling down at him, so Rat nodded and said,
Thank you, sir.
You're quite welcome.
Kylie's father turned to Aunt Tyra.
You ready, sis?
With quick claws, Aunt Tyra flicked a yellow scarf around her neck and shoulders and became this elegant matron. Rat had to stare again. It was like with Kylie, a few curls in her fur, a white scarf, And she was someone else, held herself differently, her walk more of a glide than before. Rat touched his hat. Was this a game, too? Like with the forks? Put on fancy clothes and turn into someone else? Aunt Tyra smiled, held her paw out.
Shall we, Rotile?
He blinked. The tie, the hat, the forks. He could let them change him from Rat to Rotile, couldn't he? Another blink, and he straightened his shoulders, like Kylie's father, bowed to Aunt Tyra the way he'd seen older mice do, took her paw.
I'd be delighted, madam,
he said. Aunt Tyra's smile broadened.
So gracious, gentle sir.
They padded down the hall, Kylie and her father ahead of them, muttered voices coming from the parlor, and he stepped through the door into a sea of gray and white and brown fur, sprinkled with yellow and white scarves, bow ties, and hats.
Boss!
Grandpa charged over, his old black bowler hat perched between his ears, the yellow scarf that marked him as clan head loose around his neck. He beamed at Kylie and Rat, then bowed to Aunt Tyra.
Daughter, you're a miracle worker.
Aunt Tyra nodded.
In this family, I've got to be.
Grandpa laughed, then spun and addressed the other mice.
Right, kits, line up, and we'll be off.
Amid jostling, muttering, and laughter, Kylie's cousins appeared. Cam and Arnie, Bletus and Pearl, Churn and Toifo and the rest, all combed and scrubbed, bow ties, hats, and scarves gleaming. But only Cam smiled at Rat.
Evening, cousin-to-be.
He stepped close.
Think we can make a break for it?
Rat looked around, kept his voice low, used a line from one of the adventure stories Grandpa had read to them over the winter.
The flaming arrow will be the sign. Of course.
Cam nodded toward the window.
Our troops are waiting in the hills. Soon we'll have the entire...
Escorts!
Grandpa called out. Older mice moved to the side of each kit, and Grandpa's voice made Rat turn.
Well, shall we retire?
You mean...
Rat blinked, smiled, took the old mouse's paw.
I'd be honored, gentle sir.
Grandpa barked a laugh.
Kylie's got you trained, all right.
And they fell in at the end of the line. Out the front door, the whole garden glowed, lanterns among the flowers in the early evening twilight. The streetlights were lit, too. Crowds of mice standing in the street and decked out in their yellow finery. Those kits still too young for the recognition ceremony, running around playing tag. The first of Kylie's cousins reached the gate, and the whole street burst out clapping, a roll of applause that made Rat's ears fold down. What if they stopped when he came out? What if they started booing and throwing garbage and... But no, he was being Rotile, and Rotile was a nibbler, was going to be a nibbler after tonight. He forced his shoulders not to droop, made himself smile, perked his whiskers, followed Kylie and her father out the gate onto the sidewalk, and sure enough, they all kept clapping. Grandpa waved, and everyone headed down the street, several voices starting into Lodge Night Tonight, a song Kylie had taught him during silverware practice. He joined in at the same time Grandpa did, the old mouse smiling at him and squeezing his paw. Down Han Court to Chestnut Lane, and more crowds of mice, also singing, also dressed up. The dark red hats of Adler Clan, brown Weber Clan vests, green kilts from Pressner Clan, various kits in white walking among them. The nibblers merged with them, marched past Aunt Malene's store and on to Legion Street, Rat not even sure he was walking at this point. The crowd just moved, and he moved with it, the scent of all these mice sweeter than fresh-baked bread to his whiskers. Up Legion Street, the Bailey Oak at the center of town stood dotted with light all the way to the top and out along every branch. The Mouse Lodge shone, too, colors, lanterns hanging from strings across the entrance to the courtyard. Rat craned his neck as he passed underneath, then snapped his eyes back when Grandpa's paw fell on his shoulder.
"Stick beside me, Rotile,"
he heard Grandpa say. So many mice stood laughing and singing around the big fountain. Rat didn't see how the courtyard could fit anymore. Grandpa kept moving, some of the mice greeting him, even smiled at Rat, to the lodge's main entrance, all seven doors thrown open, music just reaching Rat's ears over the tangled voices. Then he was inside the foyer, the lanterns making the polished wood shine, the crowd noise quieter but closer.
"Nibbler!"
someone called, and through the crowd pushed a burly mouse, his ascot light purple. That meant he was Spinner! Grandpa took the other mouse's paw. A figure in a white scarf stepped around the big mouse, Corin, a smirk on her face.
Nice hat, Retail,
she said. Rat swallowed, not sure what to do, until he remembered he was being Retio tonight. And Retio would. He smiled, doffed his hat, and bowed.
Corin, you've never looked lovelier.
Corin just blinked, the burly mouse shifting his gaze.
Retio, eh? Heard a lot about you from the daughter.
His eyes narrowed, and he didn't stick out a paw to shake. So Rat bowed to him instead.
So have I about you, sir. Corin knows so much, you must really be proud of her.
Corin's mouth opened, but no sound came out. Her father adjusted his ascot and turned back to Grandpa.
Yes, well, see you inside then, Nibbler.
And the crowd folded them away. A pat on his shoulder, and Rat looked up to see Grandpa smiling. He smiled back. Yeah, he could play this game. Through the foyer and into the lodge, Grandpa led him then, the ceiling arching up, lights scattered over it like stars, a small band on the stage against the far wall. Mice milled everywhere, but Rat also saw rabbits, weasels, squirrels, foxes, birds of every size and sort moving in from the doors open over at the larger folks' entrance, a group of otters sliding by right in front of them.
Dart!
Grandpa called out, and the otters all stopped, turned their grins toward him.
Not drunk yet? I'm shocked!
The otters laughed, a big female shouldering through the others.
Ah, but Raimi,
she said, her accent rolling around Rat's ears.
With all these mice about, I've the dignity of my office to maintain, haven't I?
She bobbed her head down, made a show of sniffing Grandpa up and down, her whiskers, each nearly as long as Rat's tail, brushing his coat.
Though I'd not say no had you a flask about you.
More laughter, and when she straightened up with a grin, Rat had to gasp, the crystal pendant she had around her neck catching the light. The mayor's badge. She must be Dart Godolkin. Her eyes snapped over, her grin widening.
Ah, our wee Retio.
She lowered her big head and whispered,
I'd give you a great sloppy kiss of welcome, but your auntie'd shave me bald should I muss your coiffure.
She pulled away with a wink.
We've got plenty of folks pulling for you in this, my lad. Too few of 'em are mice, sad to say, but...
Now, Dart,
Grandpa waggled a claw at her.
Be fair. Once we got Spinner to admit that the charter doesn't explicitly say that a candidate for adoption has to be a mouse, the loudest grumbling did stop.
He cocked his head.
I could arrange to adopt you next, if you'd like.
That got them laughing again, but a sudden sharp scent made Rat turn to see the Spinner himself glaring from behind Grandpa.
I'm so glad, he said, his voice like a clenched fist, that you all find the charter so amusing.
Some of the otters rolled their eyes, but the mayor bowed and said,
Indeed, Mr. Spinner, it is a constant source of joy to me that your clan founders, in their wisdom, created a document of such far-sighted...
Spare me.
Mr. Spinner smiled, but it was just with his mouth, his whiskers bristling in ways that made Rat want to hide.
You're as glib as all your race, Mayor, but few true mice believe your platitudes.
He shot a gaze at Grandpa.
Your elections and your town council may have subverted the lower clans, but we who remember the old ways don't...
Not here, Spinner.
Grandpa cut in, his voice quiet.
The council meets the first of every week downstairs in the Bailey Oak, and you're more than welcome to come debate our existence then and there.
The bigger mouse sniffed.
A Spinner does not debate. A Spinner leads. Come along, Corin.
He marched past the otters, Corin at his heels, and disappeared into the crowd. The mayor sighed.
More than 100 years we've been sharing this island,
she said, her laughter gone.
And we still get that.
Yes, well...
Grandpa cleared his throat.
Give us a couple hundred more.
He looked up at her, and Rat could almost smell the effort it took him to smile.
Bright and early tomorrow morning in chambers, then, Your Honor.
Aye, Counselor.
She bowed, turned to the other otters, and waved a paw toward the front of the lodge.
To our tables, lads and lasses. Sooner we get through this shindig, sooner we can hit the bars.
The others whistled and began weaving through the crowds.
Yow,
came a familiar voice and scent, and Rat turned to see Kylie's father behind them, Kylie at his side.
Spinner and the mayor? I'm surprised there's not fur everywhere.
"Part of the duties, Bors, my lad." Grandpa poked Kylie's father in the shoulder. "You'd better get used to it, unless you'd rather your cousin Milene take over when I retire." Kylie's father poked Grandpa back. "You? Retire? Quiet whelp." Grinning, Grandpa turned away, waving a paw. "Fisher! What brings you down from your tree?" Three more otters wove toward them. No, not otters, but fishers, red fur along their chests, the largest not quite as big as the mayor. The smallest, twice as long as Rat was tall, had a scowl on her face, but the middle one smiled, touched her nose to Grandpa's. "How could I miss the social event of the season?" she asked. Grandpa beamed up at her. "No unrest among the curials?" The fisher laughed. "Tonight? They wouldn't dare. Evening, Bors?" She turned to Kylie's father. "And this can't be our little Kylie." Kylie bowed, and the four adults started talking about the crops and the weather. Rat settled in for a long stretch of grown-up blather, but Kylie pulled him over to the smallest fisher, slumped chewing against the wall.
"Hey, Blaze," Kylie said, "you haven't met Ratayo yet, have you?"
The fisher kept chewing, her eyes moving from Rat's feet to his ears, her gaze half-lidded like she was looking at a bug, and not an interesting bug either. Rat almost bristled, but no, he was being Ratayo. So instead, he held out a paw and said,
"Pleased to meet you, Miss Blaze." "Really?"
She didn't stop chewing.
"That'd be a first."
Rat blinked, let his paw drop.
"What?"
She picked something that might have been a bone from her teeth.
"Most folks don't much enjoy meeting me. And you like it that way, don't you?"
It was out before he could stop it, slipping around his Ratayo face. Ears going hot, he heard Kylie laugh beside him, and the fisher stopped chewing, her gaze sharpening, so sharp suddenly Rat could almost feel it combing his fur.
"Who is this guy, Kylie?"
she asked.
"He doesn't smell quite right. At least I can chew with my mouth closed."
Rat clapped a paw over his snout.
"I'm sorry."
He took off his hat and bowed.
I was just shut up."
A snuffling sound, and Rat straightened from his bow to see the fisher on all fours in front of him, her nostrils flaring, sniffing around his shoulders. Frozen, Rat looked at Kylie. She cleared her throat.
"Blaze, this is Ratayo. Grandpa's about to adopt him. Ratayo, this is Blaze. She's the daughter of our local shaman, and not nearly as rude as she wants everyone to think."
Blaze snorted a gust through Rat's whiskers, then settled back against the wall, her eyes holding his, a depth there that made him feel like this was the first time anyone had ever really looked at him.
"Something about you, Rat,"
she said slowly.
"Don't know if I like you yet or not."
Rat had no idea what to say, but she looked as confused as he felt, and he couldn't help smiling at that.
"I don't know about you either,"
he told her after a minute. She snorted again, but she was smiling, too, and Rat heard Kylie laugh.
"I knew you two would hit it off."
A paw fell on Rat's shoulder, Grandpa smiling down at him.
"Time to take our seats, folks."
Kylie's father moved to Kylie's side, the fishers padding to where their daughter still reclined, and everyone headed toward the tables. Every clan had its own section, Kylie had told him, the adults at long tables surrounding a couple round ones where the kits sat. So the adults could watch, Rat realized, now that he was looking at the actual arrangement, so they could see if he was using the right fork at the right time. The fur on his neck bunching up, they came into the nibbler section, everyone in mustard yellow, and Grandpa escorted Rat to the tables in the center, Kylie's cousins already in their places. Rat and Kylie took the last two empty chairs. At least Kylie was beside him. She could kick him if he did anything obviously stupid. And Rat looked down at his place setting, arranged the same way as the others. Which was wrong, wasn't it? He looked over at Kylie, but she was talking to Toifo, seated on her other side. He remembered her saying, though, when she was teaching him this stuff. Hoping he could keep his paws from shaking, Rat started to rearrange his cutlery, and the buzz of conversation around him snapped off.
Ratayo?
He heard Cam ask from across the table.
What are you, doing exactly?
It took more effort to keep his voice light.
Getting ready for dinner.
He repositioned his bread plate, forced himself to smile at Cam.
I bet I'm the only one in this whole place who's getting adopted instead of recognized. The waiters must have forgot and set my place the wrong way.
A moment, and the muttering started up again from the adult tables, Rat seeing more than one mouse nodding, a few even smiling.
Yes,
Kylie said, and he looked over into the sparkling blue of her eyes.
They must have just forgotten.
After that, the evening was a snap, except for all the talking. Mayor Godalkin gave her speech first. She was funny, though some of the mice, Rat noticed, didn't laugh. Then all seven mice on the town council. Grandpa gave the best speech, of course. Then Ms. Fisher, Blaze's mother, and she led a prayer that sounded a lot like one of Nona's. Only it was in Manx, so Rat could understand it, and she was praying to the lords and ladies of the Curia, whoever they were, instead of to the high ones. Then the waiters brought out the salad, and Rat found himself more thankful to Kylie than ever. He'd been planning to copy the others if he forgot where his butter knife went during the soup course or how his dessert fork moved. But as plates and cups and bowls got set down and taken away, Rat saw that the others were doing everything differently, which made sense. They weren't playing the adoption game, after all. Various lines of small talk floated around the table. Hadn't Aunt Asta's flowers smelled beautiful tonight? Wasn't the weather lovely? Didn't it look like Ottersgate's water polo team might stand a chance against Beaverpool this year? And Rat managed to get in on some of it. At first, only Kylie and Cam answered him. But as the meal progressed, the others opened up, Rat sitting back and letting Ratayo handle things. Finally, the waiters served the apple pie, and Corin's father stepped onto the stage. He made a big speech about the importance of recognition in clan life, about the traditions the mouse clans had practiced for thousands of generations, and Rat was just nodding off when he said,
"So, clan heads, when I introduce you, stand and recognize your kits."
Clan by clan, mice stood and announced names, Kylie and her cousins grinning from ear to ear when Grandpa's turn came. The spinner went last, making a big deal out of Corin, her brothers and sisters and cousins, and going on for longer than anyone else, even though some of the clans in the back had had more kits to recognize. Rat sighed. Part of the game. Mr. Spinner finally finished, though, clapped his paws, was saying,
"Well, folks, till next year, I guess we..." "Spinner!"
Grandpa's voice rang through the hall. The big mouse clicked his claws together.
"Oh, of course. Nibbler, your adoption. Thank you, Spinner."
Grandpa stood, gestured to Rat, and Rat got to his paws.
"Some of you haven't met Ratayo yet, but you'll have the chance, if I read the votes correctly."
Votes? Rat glanced over, saw Grandpa was looking at the other adults' place settings. They were all exactly the same, of course, except, he noticed, some folks at the nibbler tables had their dessert forks on the left side of their pie plates, some on the right. Were they voting with their forks?
"Well then," Grandpa said, drawing Rat's gaze back to him, "won't you all please welcome Ratayo Nibbler?"
Several mice at the tables around him weren't smiling, but everyone in the lodge stood and clapped, Rat's throat closing up. He managed to bow to Grandpa, to Aunt Asta, to Uncle Doran and the other family heads before he had to sit down, his knees feeling wobbly. A paw on his shoulder, and he looked up to see Grandpa beaming down at him.
"I took the liberty of having this drawn up."
He reached into his vest and pulled out a black wallet.
"Congratulations, Ratayo."
Rat blinked, took the wallet, folded it open to see a piece of parchment paper tinted nibbler yellow. The loops and curves inscribed on it seemed to swim away from him. "By vote of the clan, officially recognized, all rights and privileges..." But he couldn't mistake the words right in the center, big and bold and wonderful. His name, Ratayo Nibbler. Another touch at his shoulder, and he turned to see Kylie, her eyes shining.
"Welcome home, Ratayo,"
she said. Darkling Eclectica Presents has brought you part 3 of Rat's Reputation by Michael H. Payne. Narration and music were by Michael Payne. Darkling Eclectica Presents is a production of KUCI in Irvine.